Welcome everyone to The Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at The Score. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. We're really in the groove now. The first month of the season is almost over. Just one more game to go. We get the Rams and the 49ers tonight, but nearly four full weeks of action is complete, and we have a pretty good idea now about what we were right on, what we might have been wrong about, and yes, we do get stuff wrong. I mean, I've already taken L's a couple times this season on this show alone. It happens. It's a game of probability. And a lot of the advice that I'm giving you is just stuff that I'm doing in my leagues. And sadly, it doesn't work out 100% of the time, but it works out far more often than not. So over time, you're going to win a lot more than you lose. But also, there's stuff, I mean, we could be right and wrong about things in the same season. Sometimes in the opening month alone, it's going to happen. The NFL's constantly changing. One minute, DeAndre Swift looks like a breakout star. The next, he's out for a couple weeks, and his fantasy managers, they're taking that hit and potentially losing games while he's on the sidelines. Now, fortunately for Swift, he should be back after the Lions' week six bye. Sadly, that's not the case for another young star back that we're going to talk about in a second here. We'll also go over all the top waiver wire ads heading into week five like we always do. We'll talk about those a little later on the show, but I want to start with the notable injuries from week four and that running back that I'm referring to. He is leading the way here. Javonte Williams, he left the game with a knee injury, was really quickly ruled out, which is never a good sign. And now we found out on Monday that he is done for the season with a torn ACL. He also has a torn LCL and posterior lateral corner, according to Ian Rapoport. And that's awful news for Williams. He's one of the brighter stars in terms of young running backs in the league, a guy that we were really hoping was going to break out here. It's also bad news for the Broncos. They're 2-2. They haven't really found their offensive identity yet. Maybe they're lucky to be 2-2, to be honest. It's bad news for fantasy managers. They likely spent a second or third round pick to get Williams this year, or maybe you drafted him in the first round of your rookie draft in your dynasty leagues last season. You spent up to get him. You're figuring he's going to break out and be a big part of your future. Now, we don't know. Now he's going to be out for the rest of this year, and we'll see how that impacts his career. I mean, sometimes in fantasy football, it feels like you're just strapped to one of those spinning boards and you have like a magician or someone just throwing knives at you and you hope that you don't get hit by one of those blades, or in this case, you hope that your fantasy team doesn't get hit by one of those big injuries, but it seems like it's almost impossible to avoid. There's just so many guys getting hurt every year. So that leads us to the bigger question, which is who's up next for Denver? Who's going to actually step up in this backfield? The most likely candidate is obviously Melvin Gordon, but he's been really struggling this year, especially the last 2 weeks. The numbers haven't been great for him. He already has four fumbles this season in four games. He's lost two of them, and he was limited with a neck issue last week and entering this contest. So maybe that was part of the problem for him. Maybe the injury factored in, or maybe the coaching staff, maybe they're just fed up with the ball security issues. But Mike Boone, which is a great name, Mike Boone played over Gordon in the second half after Javonte left this game. Boone saw slightly more snaps. He saw slightly more touches, more targets, all better than Gordon in that one. And the Broncos play the Colts on Thursday night. So my early projection, yes, I will have Gordon with more touches, but it's going to be a lot closer to a 50-50 split than maybe some people thought in a week or a couple weeks prior to this, right? What we've seen over the start of this season from Gordon just hasn't been great, and he is getting up there a little bit and running back years, so that could be factoring in here too. Maybe he's not quite the back that we've come to know over the last few seasons, but Gordon's rostered in 79% of leagues, likely already taken in yours, I'd imagine, which means Mike Boone, he's going to be a very popular waiver wire pickup this week in fantasy leagues, and he should be. I mean, there's a chance that he does get more work than Gordon in this game. I mean, both guys are going to be in the RB3 flex range. When I do my early week five rankings, they're both going to be around, you know, RB30 to RB40, kind of in there somewhere. Maybe Gordon moves up higher. I haven't really looked at everything yet, so I don't want to spoil it too much here, but also, if Gordon isn't 100%, if that neck issue is still bothering him, or if he gets nicked up again and all of a sudden he misses time, Boone could turn into the lead back in Denver. So he needs to be rostered everywhere. And I mean, I'm mentioning the Broncos-Colts game on Thursday night. Well, on the other side of the field, the Colts are at risk of being without their star running back. You have Jonathan Taylor suffering an ankle injury this week, potentially a high ankle sprain. That would be a dreaded injury. I mean, ball carriers, you do not want to hear that they have a high ankle sprain. That can sap their effectiveness. Ian Rapoport is reporting that the injury isn't believed to be serious, that Taylor does still have a chance to suit up in week five. But the bigger issue is that it's a really quick turnaround. Them playing on the short week, is he really going to be able to get back out there with an ankle issue, especially if it is a high ankle sprain? That could just sap players' effectiveness. I mean, somebody like Taylor, it would really impact him out there. We've seen it happen with other top backs, whether it was Saquon Barkley or Alvin Kamara. We've seen their numbers dip, even though they were able to play through it. We've seen their numbers dip for long stretches when they have a high ankle sprain. So I'm not 100% sure that that's what it is yet. I know some people have been suggesting that that's what it could be. We're going to have to monitor this one for sure as the week goes along here. The other problem is that since week one, Taylor hasn't really been playing up to that early first round fantasy status where you had to take him to get him in leagues this year, either at the 101 or the 102 in most leagues. 175 yards from scrimmage and a score in week one. He's averaging just 66 yards per game in the three outings since, has a fumble in those three contests, has no touchdowns in those three contests. So this is a Colts offense that does have some issues. I mean, starting with Matt Ryan, who has been really bad. We've talked about that on the show. And now they might not have the motor that powers their whole attack here. So we're hoping for the best. And that maybe Taylor can play this week, though I do kind of think it's unlikely on the short week. But hopefully, if he does miss time, it's just one game, and then he gets back to being something close to 100%. But if he's out for any amount of time, Nyheim Hines becomes a strong RB2 in fantasy. And in deeper leagues, you could look to pick up Deion Jackson, who's the only other back on the active roster there, or you wait to see if they promote Philip Lindsay. I know there was some people that thought Lindsay did well for them in some offseason practices and in the preseason, so maybe Lindsay could be a guy that actually ends up kind of lifting above Deion Jackson and getting some work just because he's a veteran that's done it before there. But Hines would handle the bulk of the work Thursday, assuming Taylor was out, so he would be the guy that you would want to go get, even though he's rostered in well over 50% of leagues. Though if he's still out there, you're definitely going to bid up and you're going to go get him, but he's probably already taken in most competitive leagues. We also got word today that the Falcons are placing Cordarrelle Patterson on IR. It's IR return, so he's going to be back. He's banged up. He's got a knee issue. He tried to play through it this week. He ended up sitting out a lot of that game. I was curious because we weren't really getting an update on what was going on there. Well, the result is that he had to undergo surgery on Monday morning, and he's expected to miss 4 weeks. So he'll come back kind of as soon as he can come back off IR. He should be available, so we'll see him in a month or so. We're going to see him again this year. It's not going to be too long, but that means that rookie Tyler Algier, he's going to get a shot here to keep earning touches. He rumbled his way 84 yards on 10 touches this week. Now, most of it came on one big run, but still nice to see for him. Not somebody that I have a ton of confidence in emerging as a big-time difference maker, but the fact that he had 84 yards on the ground in this game, had another 20 yards on a catch, that's definitely worthy of more snaps for him. Now, he could be in tough this week. He's got to go on the road against the Buccaneers run defense, and that's not a great matchup for him in that Falcons offense, but he needs to be rostered everywhere for fantasy now. He'll be an RB3 flex in this one. The team also elevated Caleb Huntley to the active roster. He was used a bit in that game, mostly around the goal line. He fell into the end zone there, so he's a deep stash. I've also recommended to everyone that they should be stashing Damian Williams in your IR spot. He's been out here for most of the first month, and now I think that's more important than ever since Williams, he was dominating touches in week one before he got hurt, so he might step back into a big role here when he's ready to return, which is possibly going to be in week six. The only other back that we should mention injury-wise here is Justice Hill on the Ravens. He left with a non-contact injury on his leg, and that's kind of scary. I mean, he's coming back from the Achilles tear, so none of that sounds good, but John Harbaugh said today that it wasn't a long-term hamstring injury. So apparently it's a hamstring injury, not going to be a long-term one. I don't really know what that means in terms of a timeline here, though, but you figure he's going to miss a little bit of time, and it's too bad because Hill, he was really stepping up recently. He had 6 touches for 60 yards in week 3, and then he had 10 for 57 in this game before he was forced to leave. Now, I wouldn't expect him back soon, like I said, so he's a guy that you probably don't need to hang on to, and I really wouldn't rush out and get any of the other backs behind J.K. Dobbins. Dobbins looking really good, looking more impressive, and you hope that the more healthy he gets here, the further he gets removed from the injury, it'll only continue to get better and more promising for him. But the only guy that I'd be interested in now behind Dobbins would be Gus Edwards. And we've heard that Edwards is going to come back this week and start practicing. That'll open up his window where he could get activated. He's coming back from an ACL tear there. And we know he's a guy that could work into potentially a committee with Dobbins once he's healthy. So he's a guy that you could stash for the time being. Some receivers who got hurt this week. DK Metcalf wasn't one of them, despite the fact that he actually got carted to the locker room. He just had to use the bathroom, apparently, so he got chauffeured back to avoid any accidents from what we're hearing, but it definitely gave us a scare. I mean, when I saw the clips of him sit on the cart, we were all a little bit worried there. Unfortunately, Treylon Burks, it wasn't just a bathroom break for him. He got carted back to the locker room with a foot issue, and the reports today indicate that it's turf toe, and he doesn't need surgery, so that's good news. It's going to be rest and rehab, but he's going to be out for a little while here. And Burks was somebody that I was really hopeful for. I mean, all the underlying metrics were looking great. The playing time, the opportunity, all that stuff was growing. The breakout game was inevitable. Now we might not get that until later in the season, or maybe not this year at all. So if you have a spot to stash him, you could, especially if he's out and you could put him away in your IR spot or something like that. But if not, then in most redraft leagues, you could probably let him go for another option. And really, it's bad news for the entire offense. I mean, it's not just bad news for him or for fantasy managers, but that entire offense, they needed another playmaker in the passing attack. Robert Woods, he's still trying to regain his form after last year's ACL tear. You got slot rookie Kyle Phillips. He's been banged up. I mean, he came back this week, but barely played in this one. He's been dealing with those injuries. So not really anyone to pivot to in that Titans offense. Maybe you get Woods and you hope that he can kind of get healthier as we go and take on a bigger target share in that offense. But I really think this is just bad news for everybody. Even Derrick Henry. I mean, it's going to hurt him. If the passing game can't get going, it's really going to limit this offense. Henry's going to have a hard time hitting his ceiling outcomes on a regular basis, right? It's just a bad scenario for everyone there. Another rookie that went down too this week, Jahan Dotson, he suffered a hamstring injury. He did say that he's feeling pretty good after the game, that he's going to get some work done and that he expects to be fine, but he's likely going to miss a week or two here. And soft tissue injuries, they're scary. They're especially scary in Washington. I mean, we saw Curtis Samuel, he missed a lot of time last year with soft tissue stuff. The risk of re-injury when you do come back, it's just so high. So we're going to have to monitor this one. Dotson, he did have another touchdown in this game. He was a nice wide receiver for flex so far this season, but now he's going to miss some time here. And that means Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, they were easy starts already. I wouldn't really venture deeper and go grab a guy like Dami Brown. I don't really think you want to go there for fantasy, but it might mean more work for tight end Logan Thomas. That's possible. So it does put Thomas a little higher up on the streaming radar there. More rookie receivers got hurt too. We got to mention here, Rashad Bateman. He left the game in a walking boot. John Harbaugh said it was a midfoot injury on Monday, but that it's not that serious. I don't know. Once again, we're trying to qualify this stuff as we go. It's not that serious, meaning what? It's not season ending. We don't really know yet. We don't have a timeline. I know he did leave during the game. He went to the medical tent. He stayed on the sidelines, which normally you figure if a guy's staying on the sidelines, it's not incredibly serious anyway, but we're going to have to watch to get a recovery timeline here. Right now, they're calling him day-to-day. Devin Duvernay actually played more snaps than him in this game. I'm guessing that's because of the injury issues, though, and really, there's not really anyone else in the receiving core there that you're going to look to past Duvernay. DeMarcus Robinson would be the guy. That's a really thin play for fantasy. So it'll be Mark Andrews, a ton of Mark Andrews, as much as Mark Andrews could possibly handle. And then Devin Duvernay as well, leading the pass catchers if Bateman can't go. The Bills in that game, I mean, in the other sideline, they had a couple receivers get hurt. Isaiah McKenzie, he's in concussion protocol. Jamison Crowder, he broke his ankle. So Crowder's out indefinitely. If McKenzie can get cleared quick, he would actually benefit from Crowder being sidelined because they were starting to split a little bit more here in the recent weeks. It might push McKenzie all the way up into wide receiver 4 flex range. In deeper leagues, you could look at the rookie Khalil Shakir as a stash. And you have to factor in here that Gabe Davis, he's playing at less than 100% with that ankle issue. He really hasn't looked like himself the last couple weeks. So could mean more opportunity for some of the depth guys in that offense. And for Dawson Knox at tight end, right? Knox, still just a tight end dependent tight end 2 for fantasy, but might see a little more work for him. Might continue to see Devin Singletary really involved in the passing attack too. That's happened the last 2 weeks here. I'd also like to see them get James Cook more work. I mean, you take a guy in the second round, you figure that he's going to have a bigger impact on your offense, but he keeps making rookie mistakes out there. He had that fumble on his first touch. He had a really bad drop this week too, but still somebody that you got to keep watching to see what his usage is. Right now, not great, but we'll see if that starts to ramp up at all and if he's a guy that you could stash and that maybe we get something out of in the second half of the year. Some quick ones to monitor in terms of injured receivers. Josh Palmer, he was in and out getting his ankle taped up this week. Not sure if that's something that's going to cause him problems moving forward, but just wanted to mention it so it was on people's radar. Noah Brown and the Cowboys, he had a muscle strain in his neck. He'll be looked at this week, but with Michael Gallup back, I mean, Brown's time as a fantasy option, it's probably going away here. Quintez Cephas on the Lions, he hurt his foot. That's only noteworthy because all the other injuries that they have on their offense right now, but we're going to hit on a couple of the receivers there who you could pick up on the waiver wire this week. We'll talk about them when we get to that section in a minute. Laviska Shenault, he hurt his hamstring. Another guy well off the fantasy radar, just mentioning it so that everybody knows, you know, he's not going to break out this season. It is not going to happen, unfortunately, for Laviska Shenault. And then Kenny Golladay, he suffered a knee injury. Not sure on the severity there yet, but the Giants receivers, they just can't stay healthy. It's Golladay hurt here. It's Sterling Shepard out for the year. Wandell Robinson, Kadarius Toney, they're not healthy enough to play yet. Darius Slayton actually moved back into the mix. He's a guy that was well off the radar there. He moved back in and got some snaps this week with Golladay going to the sidelines. I'm not really wasting my time on the Giants receiving core, though, for fantasy. Robinson, Toney, they're just stashes in really deep leagues at the moment. You really need to have a lot of bench spots in order to justify having those guys on your team. Couple quarterbacks to mention here. Tua Tagovailoa, we talked about him on Friday's show. He's been ruled out a week five. We don't know when he's going to be back. The MRI did come back clean, though, so that's good news. But Teddy Bridgewater is going to get the start, and the passing options in Miami, they're going to take a bit of a hit here, but it's not the end of the world because they get the Jets this week. So should be opportunities for big plays there. They should be fine. Their stats will come down just a little bit with Teddy out there, but he showed this week he can keep that offense moving, and at least Tyreek Hill is going to get loaded up with targets. We'll see what the matchups look like week to week, but I think those guys are going to be fine in that offense. We're just going to bump them down a few spots in the rankings. Daniel Jones, he hurt his ankle. He's day-to-day. Tyrod Taylor, his backup, he's in concussion protocol. So we'll be watching to see who's going to get the start for the Giants this week. It seems like they think that Jones has a shot to play still. Otherwise, I don't know who they're going to go to here. If neither of those guys can play, their only other quarterback on the roster is Davis Webb, and he's on the practice squad, so let's hope that we don't have to see a Davis Webb game this week. Brian Hoyer, he's also in concussion protocol for the Patriots, and rookie Bailey Zappe, he acquitted himself pretty well in that game when he came in against the Packers. Didn't light it up stats-wise, but kept the offense moving, kept them competitive, looked like a solid backup quarterback, and for a rookie coming in and doing that, it's really impressive to see from him. Now, Mac Jones did get back to practice on Friday, and he's got that high ankle sprain, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's able to play this week. We thought it was going to be, the initial reports were 4 to 6 weeks, but having him already throwing the ball out at practice, we'll see if he's able to play in this one, and it should be a great matchup with the Lions this week. I mean, for them, the Lions are just letting everybody put up huge stats on them, so could be a decent day for the Patriots offense, especially if Jones is healthy enough to give it a go. They also might not have tight end Jonnu Smith for that one. He has a new ankle injury. We'll watch to see his practice participation this week. Hunter Henry just really hasn't done much this year, so I'm not overly excited to start him, even if Smith is out. I mean, given the matchup, maybe you go to him. I mean, Henry would just be on the streamer radar, though. It's not like you're going to move him up into the top 12 or anything like that. And then Cam Brate is in concussion protocol for the Bucs, and it was another weird one where he went back into the game initially, and then he got put in the protocol at halftime. Just kind of strange how all that stuff's happening. So we'll see how fast he gets cleared. If he can't go, then rookie Cade Otton becomes a deep streamer there. And then lots of names who have been out, but who might come back this week. No guarantees, but guys that might be back this week. Dak Prescott, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Alvin Kamara, David Montgomery, Brian Robinson, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, Hunter Renfrow, Jameis Winston. Like I said, no one is a lock to come back this week, but hopefully we'll get some of those guys back. They're names that we're going to be watching closely for updates on this week. All right, let's move on to the waiver wire pickups for week five. And today's waiver wire segment is brought to you by the all new Lexus RX with heart pounding design, intelligent technology, and the first ever RX 500H performance hybrid. Never lose your edge with the RX. And hopefully you are one of the many people who read my full waiver wire column over on The Score. It goes up Monday nights. There's something in there no matter what type of league you're in. I try to make it a guide for everyone. But here today on the show, we're going to talk about the top ads at each position this week. Just the top guys. If you want to go see some of the deeper names, you can go check out that full column. So let's start with quarterbacks here. Jared Goff, he's rostered in more than 50% of leagues. So that's the cutoff that I normally use. But we're going to mention him anyway because he's just above that mark. If he's still out there, He has shown us that he can be a really great fantasy asset this season. It's a perfect environment for him. He's behind a quality offensive line. He's on a team that, like we said earlier, that Lions defense, they can't stop anybody. So it's forcing the Lions into these wild shootouts. And it's been really fun for fantasy. Even with DeAndre Swift out, even with Amon-Ra St. Brown out, Goff still goes out and he puts up the most fantasy points among quarterbacks this week. And he's top five in fantasy points per game right now on the season. So he would be a great add if he is available, even though the schedule is going to get a little bit harder for him. But I'm pretty confident that that Lions offense is going to continue to put up big points. As for guys that are under the 50% mark in terms of rostered, Geno Smith was actually the beneficiary of playing that Lions D this week. Right now, he is sitting second overall behind Goff in terms of fantasy points scored among quarterbacks for the week. He's 12% rostered, but the bigger thing for Geno is that they're letting him throw quite a bit now. He's gone over 300 passing yards and thrown for at least two touchdowns in each of his last two outings. He's got three multi-score games in the first 4 weeks. You have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. They're leading the way for the passing attack. It's a very concentrated passing attack with those two. They're also using this committee at tight end, and those guys are finding the end zone a whole bunch. And the schedule isn't bad coming up. They got some middle-of-the-pack fantasy matchups. They got the Saints defense this week, the Chargers defense in a couple weeks, but they also have the Cardinals twice and the Giants over the next 5 weeks. So not a bad schedule at all. Geno is a legit mid to high-end fantasy quarterback too. It sounds crazy to say, but it is true. He is a really quality streamer or a bye-week fill-in. Bye-weeks are going to start in week six. You could look to him to be your guy. And like I said, he's going up against the Saints this week, and we could look to them potentially for a fantasy streamer. Jameis Winston, if he's healthy enough to go, Winston would be an intriguing option facing that Seahawks defense. Winston's 36% rostered. Would be really nice to see him get Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara back. That would really bump up his outlook as well. But Winston's somebody that you could potentially look to this week. Teddy Bridgewater, who we mentioned, he gets to start with Tua out. He gets the Jets as his opponent. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Jalen Waddle as your receivers. The Dolphins passing attack should still be really productive in that matchup. But Geno, Jameis, Teddy, those are your streamers. If you're looking for pure upside guys, guys that you could look to long term, you look at Kenny Pickett this week. And we don't know if the Steelers are going to stick with him. He came in, he relieved Mitch Trubisky. He played pretty well. Yeah, there was some mistakes, but they weren't all his fault. I mean, receivers tipping balls that get intercepted, you can't really blame him for all those. And Pickett, he can add a little bit with his legs. We saw two rushing touchdowns this week for him. With all the skill position talent around him in Pittsburgh, Pickett could be a strong producer if he can live up to that first round billing, if he could take advantage of all those guys that he has around him. I mean, I'd be willing to stash him this week. I just don't play him against the Bills. No quarterback that goes up against the Bills defense is going to do well in fantasy. And we saw that with Lamar Jackson this week, who had a down game, even for Lamar, even though it was still okay, but not what we've grown to expect from Lamar in fantasy. Moving on to running backs, the guys who are over the 50% rostered mark, but who I'd be adding immediately are guys like Raheem Mostert on the Dolphins, Nyheim Hines, who we discussed earlier, could see more work with that Taylor injury, and Brian Robinson, who's actually expected to be activated by the Commanders this week. Now that just opens up his practice window. He's not put back on the full-time roster yet here, but it's great news to see him back. And also when you put that together with the fact that Antonio Gibson's playing time has been dropping here. So the door is open again for Robinson to overtake him and be that lead back, which would be an amazing story if we see that happen. So don't let him sit out there on your waiver wire. Some other names you could look at this week, Mike Boone and the Broncos, who we've discussed. He's just 1% rostered. So he is out there in almost every single league imaginable, and he might not profile as a lead back. I mean, if he had that role, I think he could do it for a short stretch. I don't think he's the guy you want to have in that role all season if you're an NFL team, but he could be really good as a member of a committee, though, even the lead back in a committee. And I'll be projecting Melvin Gordon to see more touches this week, but Boone will not be far behind like we talked about earlier, so he needs to be added. He's an RB3 flex now with Javonte out for the year, and then we'll see how that works out in terms of touches in that Broncos backfield. Rashad White, he got more snaps and more touches this week for the Bucs. Very exciting to see that. It's potentially bad news for Leonard Fournette's fantasy ceiling. It maybe moves him down a little bit after he looked like a really solid RB1 for fantasy in the early going this year. But White was already a one injury away guy. Now he might have flex value. He played 37.5% of the snaps this week, and he turned it into 56 yards from scrimmage and a score. Had five receptions as well. So very nice day for him. he should be rostered in all leagues. Same goes for Isaiah Pacheco on the Chiefs. 11 carries, 63 yards in the win over the Bucs on Sunday night. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yes, he's scoring touchdowns. He's still producing. He is certainly the lead back in that committee, but Pacheco's running hard. He's earning praise from Andy Reid and the coaching staff, and he'll continue to have a role here. And if something happens to CEH, Pacheco could absolutely explode for fantasy. Some more rookies we should talk about. Tyler Allgeier on the Falcons. Cordarrelle Patterson on IR for a month. Allgeier is going to get another chance to carve out a regular role in that offense. And I do expect that Damien Williams will take over as the lead back when he returns, which could be next week. But a lot of that depends on what Allgeier looks like in this game. And the problem is that matchup with the Bucs D, so it makes him a little less exciting as a play this week. And then we don't know what that means going forward, but certainly someone that needs to be picked up everywhere. And so does Damien Williams. And with Damien Williams, you can get him and you can stash him on IR for at least one more week. So make sure you do that. But there's a lot of running backs in the column that you should take a look at. So go check that out. Depending what you need, bench stashes, guys that you could potentially play as flex options this week, take a look at the column. I got it all broken down in there for you. For now, we're going to shift to receivers. Did George Pickens come alive when Kenny Pickett got under center or what? Pickens goes over 100 yards in this game, but the target share almost tripled from what he was seeing from Mitch Trubisky under center versus what he was seeing when Pickett took over. And it's a very, very small sample size, I know, but Pickens has the talent. All we're looking for is for him to get the volume, and the Steelers have now seen a glimpse of what the future could look like. So hopefully they stick with Pickett. Hopefully they make an effort to feature Pickens more. Deontay Johnson is still the number one receiver there, but it seems like Pickett is poised to pass Chase Claypool in that offense. So I think we're going to see that happen sooner rather than later. Either way, he should not be sitting out there on waiver wires. He's still available in 61% of leagues. You got to fix that. You got to go and get him. He is an upside add, even if you don't play him this week, which I probably wouldn't advise, but you throw him on your bench and you hope in the second half of the season that he continues to break out. Michael Gallup came back this week. He scored a touchdown in his first game back. Expect that his snaps and his targets, all that stuff's going to increase. And then at some point, maybe soon, Dak Prescott's going to be in the lineup. So could be a strong second half of the season for Gallup. You can go out and get him now. We don't know about Amon-Ra St. Brown and whether he's going to return in week five or whether he's going to sit out until after the week six bye, but the Lions' other wideouts, Josh Reynolds, 20% rostered, DJ Chark, 38% rostered. They are solid streamers. We saw Reynolds come through and lead the way for them this week. I mean, TJ Hawkinson's the one that really blew up, the tight end did, but in terms of the receivers, Reynolds was a great play this week. And assuming that Chark's healthy, he's somebody you could also put out there as an interesting flex play. And there's lots of other streamer types in the column too. I want to run through all these names, but I don't want the episode to last for an hour or two. So just remember, you could check out the column. You can see all the names in there. I will give you one more guy that I'm stashing. It's another rookie here, Sky Moore. He got a little more involved this week. It's not like anybody's running away with the lead in that Chiefs receiving core. Maybe it'll stay that way and they'll continue to spread the ball around, or maybe they'll give their day two rookie more snaps and targets, and this guy could be quite a playmaker for them. So more as a stash, a guy who could potentially be a second half breakout for fantasy. I'm going to be adding him to a lot of benches this week because I know he got dropped a lot of places. The top tight end pickup, once again, Tyler Conklin. Might sound like a broken record, but at least five targets in every game, at least 40 yards or a touchdown in each game so far. He's a low-end tight end one at the moment, and it's a position where people need help. He can be that help. I know he's not a household name, but the guy's producing. He's available in 58% of leagues. After that, though, you're throwing darts. I mean, Robert Tonyan found the end zone finally. He's a TD or bust kind of streamer. Hayden Hurst, Irv Smith, they're risky flex plays among tight ends. Taysom Hill, he's really risky too, but if he finds the end zone, he can deliver in fantasy, and he's done a lot better than, let's say, a lot of the low-end starters have been doing out there. So in a pinch, you could look to him. He's not playing a ton of snaps, but they are high leverage snaps when he's out there normally. So I wouldn't go crazy to try to get him on your roster. But if the options are kind of thin in the waiver wire, he's somebody that you could look to as a guy that has a really high ceiling, albeit a really low floor as well. I wouldn't get caught up in the Mo Alie-Cox game. I know he scored a couple touchdowns, but we also saw Jelani Woods score a couple touchdowns among the Colts tight ends, right, in past games. So Kylan Granson, he's still involved. They're kind of just using this thing as a committee. It's not a depth chart that I really want to mess with for fantasy. And unless you just want to play roulette at the position. And I think that would be a mistake. I think there's better options out there. And let's finish off with a few defenses who you should be targeting on the waiver wire this week. The Vikings get Justin Fields and the Bears. Minnesota 41% rostered. The Bears have given up double-digit fantasy points to each of the last three defenses they've faced. I would imagine that the Vikings are going to make that four in a row. The Dolphins, they get Zach Wilson and the Jets. New York, a top 10 matchup for fantasy defenses. And Miami's D, they've been known to be one that can really have those blow-up games. So I like them as a streamer this week. And the Jaguars, 13% rostered. Yeah, they took some lumps. They went up against the Eagles in the rain. They end up losing that game. But they get a nice soft landing spot against the Texans in week 5. And Jacksonville's defense, they're here to stay. Lots of young talent. They're hungry. So they're a top ad for week 5 as well. And one more time, a reminder that today's waiver wire segment was brought to you by the all-new Lexus RX. With heart-pounding design, intelligent technology, and the first ever RX 500H performance hybrid. Never lose your edge with the RX. But that is all for today's show. Make sure you check out my full waiver wire column over on The Score Monday night, and I'll be back Tuesday with another episode, and then Wednesday we'll have a guest with me. But until then, big thanks to everybody who's been dropping ratings and reviews over on Apple Podcasts. Got some 5-star reviews recently from Cass Alyssa and Browers and someone called BG the Bad. And I'm not going to read the full reviews here, but they were very nice. So know that I appreciate that. And I encourage everybody who likes the show, go drop a rating and or a review over there to help us out. So thank you for that. And as always, big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight.